Good morning, loved ones. Good to see you this morning. I'd invite you to take your Bibles and open with me to Ephesians chapter 1 as we seek to answer this significant question. What is the purpose of the church? If you were to ask that question to 100 people, you would probably get 100 different answers. What is the purpose of the church? But the text that we had just read to us identifies the purpose that God has for His church. But I must admit, I have been guilty of going to this text and treating it like presents under a Christmas tree, where I just unwrapped phrase after phrase looking for something addressed to me, that I was adopted, that I was redeemed, that I was forgiven, that I had an inheritance, and I had the misconception that God's plan of salvation was all about me, that I was the pinnacle of God's purposes in this world. And then I looked at the text more closely, and I discovered that God's purposes for His church is, or purpose for His church, is that we might live to the praise of His glory. That we might live to the praise of His glory. He says it three times in strategic places in the text. In verse 6, in verse 12, in verse 14, we are to live to the praise of His glory. In fact, this section of Ephesians ends in chapter 3 and verse 21 by saying to us that it is the glory of God that is to be seen in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, forever and ever. Amen. And so what Paul is saying to us from the very beginning to the very end of this section is God's church exists to give Him glory. We are to live to the praise of His glory. Now that's a very different pursuit than what most people engage in. Most of us are living for our own glory. We seek to elevate our own success. We brag about our own accomplishments. And then we come into Christ and we are taught that whatever you do, you are to do to the glory of God the Father. And the problem is that American-style Christianity doesn't help us with this. American-styled Christianity is about having a room full of 1,000 idols all sitting on the pews. American-style Christianity is about enthroning my wants and my feelings and my thoughts. It crowns human celebrities and follows human trends. It focuses upon the individual's feelings and experiences. It preaches that you are the pinnacle of God's plan. And as a result, the church is splintered in 1,000 different directions in the pursuit of the glorification of people. But then we come to this text and we discover a wonderful truth. That the whole reason that we're saved in the first place is because it was according to God's plan. It was according to God's will. In other words, our salvation owes its beginning to God. And then we have been saved according to His will so that we might live to the praise of His purposes. It's all about living for the glory of God. And we need a reorientation of our understanding of what it means to be the people of God, what it means to be the church. The church is not an event center for my own personal entertainment. It is not a seminar for my own personal fulfillment. It is not a political party for social power. The church is an existence by the will of God to live for the praise of His glory. Now, we need to unpack this beautiful phrase a little bit. What in the world does it mean to live to the praise of His glory? First of all, in Scripture, whenever we talk about the glory of God, we are talking about the revelation of His character as it is revealed in His works and His word. And this is where Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God showed the people His character, His word, His works. And when we understand the nature of God, we declare it. That's what it means to praise. In other words, the more that we understand God's character, His expressed in His words and His works, and we declare that in our lives, we are living to the praise of His glory. I'd like to think of it this way, that each of us is a living advertisement. We are a living billboard. And in our daily lives, we are painting our billboard with the things that we think are valuable. And we have been saved and put into Christ Jesus to paint upon the billboard of our lives the glorious will and works of God for the world to see. That's our purpose. That's why we exist. Now, the Apostle Paul at this point wants this principle to become practical. He wants our purpose to find practice. And so what he does beginning in verse 15 is he begins to pray that we might understand what our purpose is all about. And so he says, notice in verse 14, it ends that we are to live to the praise of His glory. And now verse 15 in your Bibles, for this reason, I'm going to pray. And what Paul's going to do in this prayer is he is going to take all of these wonderful truths he has taught us in the first 14 verses and ask God to bring it into reality, into our lives. And this is what he says. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having your eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. When we recognize our purpose is to live for the praise of His glory, it begins to have certain impacts on our lives. We become billboards for God's glorious character, will, and work. And one of the ways that we do that is by expressing our faith. Notice as you see in verse 15, he says, because of this, I am praying, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the ways that we demonstrate the glory of God in our lives is to live by faith. And faith is not just something that we believe in the privacy of our own minds and keep to ourselves. It is something that is to be expressed so that others can hear about it. Verse 15 says, I've heard about your faith. In fact, later on in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is going to say that we have been created in Christ Jesus as God's workmanship to do good works which God has created beforehand that we should walk in them. That God has created us to express and live out our faith to where that it is seen by others, as Jesus would say, that people might see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So one of the ways that we live to the praise of His glory as we live out our faith. Well, what does that look like? Well, in the Ephesian church, they were known for living different than their culture. This is one of the characteristics of the Ephesian church. Their inspiring story is recorded in Acts chapter 19. And when they learned about the gospel, they confessed their sins publicly, and they took everything that was in their house that led them away from the ways of God, and they took it out and they destroyed it. And they would not participate in the idolatry of their city. They were known as being distinctly different from their culture. This is one way we show the glory of God to our world, is we have the courage to live what the Bible calls holy. That we are distinct and different from our culture. And wow, we've got an opportunity to do this. In a culture that is dominated by materialism, pleasure, and sensualism, we have an opportunity to live distinctly different in the things that we value and pursue and love. And when people look at you and say, wow, that's different, what they are seeing is the glory of God. But in addition, God's glory is not just seen by the things that we refuse to do, but by the things that we choose to do. This church in Ephesus, when they learned about the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the next 2 years, they got together every day at the hall of Tyrannus, and they studied about the Lord Jesus and God's plan through him. They were passionate about knowing the gospel. And as a result, the text says that the word of the Lord spread throughout all of Asia. The reason we've got churches in Thyatira and Smyrna and Laodicea and Colossae is because these people lived out their faith for the world to see. They lived to the praise of the glory of God by sharing what they believed. And when we have the opportunity in the presence of others to share our love for the Lord, our thankfulness for His mercy and grace, our love for His goodness and gifts, when we get the opportunity to speak of His distinct and unique ways, what we are having the opportunity to do is be a billboard for the glory of God. It's not just called evangelism. It's not just called filling the building with people. It is called living to the praise of His glory, and that's the purpose of God's church. But often, most powerfully, we get to express our faith in the Lord Jesus during times of trial. It's not easy. In fact, the Ephesian church may have had trouble with this, because by the time that we get to the book of Revelation, we find that they have diminished in the expression of their faith. Times got hard. But in difficult times, we express our love for the Lord and our commitment to Him. It speaks loudly of His glory. Some of you know Jim and Anita Kirby, and you know that their granddaughter has a brittle bone disease, and she was born a little over a year ago. And her mother and father, Amanda and Justin Mock, started a Facebook page to kind of chronicle her journey. And a couple of weeks ago, that page reached 20,000 followers. And when they did reach that many followers, her parents got on there and wrote these words: "We hope to share Abigail's life in such a way that it brings glory to God." And they have. You know, J.I. Packer writes that when you're in a circumstance and you ask, "Why is this happening?" you may not get an answer. But in any circumstance, when you ask, "How can I glorify God?" you'll always get an answer. What I'd say to us, friends, is if those who are closest to us were to describe our lives and say, "Well, these are the top three things that I think describe them," would they describe you and me as people who express our faith in God? If we don't, we might wonder if we are living to the praise of His glory. Because those who live to the praise of His glory, they express their faith. But another thing that we wear upon the billboard of our life that explains and expresses the glory of God is how we love His people. Did you notice in verse 15? He continues his prayer. What I heard and I pray about and I'm thankful for is your love for all the saints. In this country, we have this erroneous concept that we have been saved individually and live in isolation. But God never intended for us to do that. For having experienced the love of God, we are to share that love, especially with His holy family. And the emphasis in verse 15 is in the word all, your love for all the saints. Because what this little letter to the Ephesians is all about is how God took this little group called the Gentiles and this little group called the Jews, and He brought them together to make one group in Jesus, so that through Jesus, the wall of hostility that was between them was brought down and that He became their peace. This is the point of the book of Hebrews, is that what God has done through these desperately different ethnic groups is to be done in all of His people. That when we are brought together in love for all of the saints, what it demonstrates is the manifold wisdom of God. Because only God could do something like that. And that's the point of chapter 3. When he gets to the pinnacle of his argument, he says, it is because it is only God who could stitch hearts together in love that are so different in their experience that all of creation stands up and takes notice, God is glorious. His wisdom is manifold. But this love isn't easy. When we extend our love only to people who are like us, who are our age, who come from our background, who are from our personality, all we're doing is living to our own glory, to the praise of our own glory. But when we choose to pull into our affection those who have been loved by God, even though they're different in age and experience and personality, what we are demonstrating is the glory of God, His kind of love living in us. And so what Paul does in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5 is describe what that kind of love looks like. And so I read from Ephesians 4 and verse 2. When he says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient and bear with one another in love and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace until the church is built up together in love. Verse 16. In other words, to live to the praise of His glory. We all can do this. We can be gentle and humble and patient with each other in love. We can make every effort to maintain the unity that the Spirit Himself has put within us. We can reject division and pull into our affections those who are different in age and personality and experience. And God is loved. And God is glorified. And His glory is seen. Well, the problem is that the pressures of life makes it hard to express love like we ought to. And this perhaps happened to the church in Ephesus because by the end of the first century, we get to Revelation chapter 2, and one of the things we learn about the church is that Jesus says, you all have left. You've lost it. You've lost your first love. The love you had for me and the love you had for one another that was so vibrant and real, it's become worthless. And that so often happens when a church and a culture is put under pressure. It results in what sometimes is called the kick the dog syndrome. You ever had that? You have a bad day, and you come home, and the poor dog barks once, and boom, there it goes across the room, bits the wall. Didn't do a thing. It was all that anger and frustration in you that took it out on somebody else. But when we're put under pressure and fighting and frustration come pouring out, can I remind us of somebody who did it differently? Can I remind us of Jesus, who when put under pressure was insulted and abused and was put on a cross He poured out love. And he lived and died to the praise of God's glory. And we see his nature and his ways and his will powerfully because he loved. So I'd ask us, if somebody is describing your life and they're saying, well, these are three things that define them, would they say of you and me, oh, those are folks, they really love all the saints? If not, then you might wonder if you're fulfilling your purpose and living to the praise of his glory. Thirdly, Paul says, if we're going to live to the praise of his glory, we need to increase in our knowledge. I mean, this is obvious. If we're going to glorify something, we've got to know that something. And so notice what Paul says in verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you might know him better. If we're going to live to the praise of his glory, we've got to know him better. A famous public speaker was asked on one occasion, what is the most important thing about being a good public speaker? And he said, to know your subject. Pretty simple, isn't it? And if we're going to be good public speakers, praise givers of God's glory, we've got to know that glory. But some of us have a problem that can be illustrated about like a little boy I heard about. His mother went in to put her little son to bed. She sat there with him until he got sleepy, and then he fell asleep, and she left the room. And then a few minutes later, she heard this thud on the ground. And she ran in there, and sure enough, the boy was laying on the ground all dazed and disoriented. And she said, how did you fall out of bed? And the little boy said, I think I stayed too close to where I got in. And for a lot of us, our faith isn't being lived out in the praise of his glory because we've stayed too close to where we got in. We think back about what we have learned about the Lord and how we have served the Lord, and it goes back a few years. We have no new excursions into the knowledge of God. No new journeys into what his word has to say. No new insights that we have learned through our experience with him in life. And our understanding of his glory is historical rather than up to date. And so if we're going to live to the praise of his glory, then we must continually grow in our knowledge of the Lord. And when we do, Paul says a couple of things are going to happen. Soon as you come to know how glorious the Lord is, boy, you're going to start living with hope. Did you see that, verse 18? That you might know, when you understand him, when you grow in your knowledge of him, when you know him better, you'll know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? In other words, in verse 12 and in verse 18, Paul talks about the Christian hope. And for us, it is not just some future certainty, though it is. It is also a present possession. That we live in hope now. We live in hope of the forgiveness of sins that God has given us. We live in hope that we are in Christ, holy and blameless. We live in hope that there is an inheritance that is reserved for us in heaven. And when our friends and neighbors and family see us live in despair over the political situation that we're in, and when they see us paralyzed with fear over the pandemic, when they see us live in terror over economic concerns, they see no glory of God. They see the hopelessness of the world living in us. But dear friends, in this day, when our hope is in the Lord, that we are of all people filled with God's goodness and joy and praise for all that He has done, with confidence of how He is going to use this, with certainty about where we're going, and they see that hope living in us with all of its peace, with all of its joy. You know what we're doing? We're living to the praise of His glory. That's what it looks like. We live with hope. And we can live with hope because when you know the Lord, you can live with power. That's what he goes on to express or expound upon in verse 19. He says, when you know the Lord better, you'll understand the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. And then he defines this power. It's the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. It was the same power that God used to put Jesus in the place of all authority over all principalities and powers in heavenly places and below. It is the same power that he exercises as head over all of the church. It's hard to conceive of a greater power. And then here's the mind-boggling thing. Verse 19. This power is towards us who believe. One of the major lessons of the book of Ephesians is how much you and I need this power of God. At the end of the letter, he's going to talk about how we're in a spiritual warfare against the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He talks about it being a spiritual warfare of wickedness against righteousness. But he says, you don't need to fear because you're going to stand strong in the power of his might. By putting on his armor, the armor of the Lord, you'll be able to withstand in the evil day. We need his power. In the middle of the book, there's that prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 in which he prays that we might understand God's power towards us. He says that we might be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being. Verse 20 and 21, that God is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work in us. So to him be the glory in the church forever. You see, one of the ways in which we demonstrate the glory of God is we let it be known to ourselves and to our world and to our friends and our families that we stand by the power of God. You know, we rightly so talk about the need for our obedience and our responsibility. It is stressed in Scripture. But we must never ignore God's power and ability, for without it we don't stand. Can we ignore the need we have for him to respond to our prayers, our dependence upon him to deliver us from the evil one, our hope in him that he forgives our sins, that he is a God that opens doors of opportunity, that he is a God that restrains the evil one so that we're not overwhelmed? The fact of the matter is that you and I stand by the power of the Lord. And a lot of Christians are living in despair because they think that their destiny and the destiny of this world is in the hands of frailed and weak people. And it is not. It is in the hands of a powerful God. So, somebody is trying to describe your life. What makes you you? You're his church, so what makes you you? Would they say, wow, they are a person who really wants to know God better. If not, then you might wonder if you're living to the praise of his glory. Well, Paul's prayer ends where it began, that Christ is to be head over all things to the church. In other ways, what his church does, he's the head of it. We live to the praise of his glory. I hope we've given us some practical, real things to make that billboard shine a little bit better this week. Kent Hughes tells a story that happened nearly 90 years ago here in Texas. A school building burned down with all of the children in it. Nearly 300 children died in that fire. And as a result, it rallied a great deal of interest in making buildings more safe. And that school and that little town received a great deal of money to put in the finest fire suppression system that had been made in the United States, as a sprinkler system that was put throughout the whole building. And the town was very proud of it as they rebuilt that building and they put that sprinkler in, and they would give tours and show people how safe they were and how wonderful this new technology was. And the town grew to the point that they needed to add on to that building. And when they did, what they discovered was that the system had never been hooked up to the water. It looked good in the building, but it didn't do any good when it was needed. And I'm afraid that sometimes we're pretty good at doing that ourselves. We look good in a building, but that's not what God's church is. God's church is a people who have come to recognize that our purpose is to get hooked in to what makes God glorious and to demonstrate that by the way we live by faith, the way we love His saints, and live with hope and power. May God help us to recognize church, His church, me, you. It's all about living to the praise of His glory. If you need to respond to the gospel, become a part of this glorious purpose God has for His church, why don't you make your decision today to confess your faith, repent of your sins, put on the Lord Jesus in baptism. Come as we stand and sing.